Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. So today's topic is a listener request, and they wanted to discuss about cholesterol and dietary fats. So we're going to be kind of focusing on what cholesterol is and how, if, or like in what ways does dietary fat contribute to high cholesterol, and what are some concerns over high cholesterol. So let's first look at what cholesterol actually is. So cholesterol is like a fatty substance in our body that is made by the liver and comes from the food that we eat. So that's where like our dietary fat intake can contribute to that. And cholesterol from our foods is turned into what are called lipoproteins, which we know as like LDL and HDL. So LDL is like the bad cholesterol, HDL is the good cholesterol. So some cholesterol, so dietary fat intake is absolutely necessary. We actually need to eat fats. So I remember back when I first started my health and happiness journey, whenever I was around 15, 16, low-fat diets were touted as like the best thing in the world. You're supposed to eat carbs and protein and avoid fats because fats made you fat and they gave you heart problems. And then all of a sudden it turned into like, you know, years later, 5-10 years later, then it was low carbs. You know, then 5-10 years later, it's some other bull crap. So that's why it's really important to learn just what good healthy eating is and why you need a balance of all macronutrients in the right amounts and the right times, so that way you avoid all these stupid fads and stuff like that. But we actually need to eat fat for us to be healthy. And the reason why is it helps with hormone production. So for us to have healthy balance of hormones, we have to intake dietary fats. It also helps with vitamin D production and creating like bile, which is something we use to help digest foods. So there's other kind of major benefits, but those are three kind of big ones that are all important and what we need them for. So now, individual types of cholesterol, like we said, we have the LDL and HDL. So LDL is what we call kind of bad cholesterol. And what it does, it actually, it's a kind of like a carrier for to take cholesterol to our cells of our body. And what happens is when we have too much LDL, it kind of builds up in the walls of our arteries and it contributes part of what we call plaque. So when we have plaque buildup, we have like a narrowing of like blood vessels, and that causes like high blood pressure and issues like that. So that's kind of why it's bad, is it can cause like heart disease issues or, you know, various blah, blah, blah. So we'll hear terms like coronary heart disease, and coronary is just a heart blood vessel. So blood vessels related to the heart are called coronary vessels. And so that's when we have buildup of plaque in our coronary vessels, our heart vessels, we have an increased risk of a heart attack. We also have like our carotid arteries, which is like the neck arteries, and they lead to the brain. So if we have buildup of plaque in those vessels, the carotid vessels, carotid arteries, we don't get good blood flow to the brain, and you can have a stroke. So that's kind of the difference of what those are. So coronary is heart, and that relates to heart attacks. Carotid artery is related to the neck and the brain, and that can lead to strokes. So too much LDL is a bad thing. Now, of course, we need to have some LDL because we have to carry cholesterol to the cells so it can do its job and do all the good stuff for us. We just don't want too much LDL because that builds up and gives us trouble. Now, HDL, we call like the good cholesterol, and what that does, it kind of does the opposite. So it takes excess cholesterol from the cells, takes it to the liver so our body can get rid of it. So it's kind of like HDL kind of cleans up everything for us. So that's why it's important to have enough HDL. So usually we don't want too much LDL, and we want to have enough HDL. So that way there's a balance of stuff, you know, taking cholesterol to the cells, and stuff taking cholesterol, excess cholesterol, back away from the cells and to the liver. Okay, so that gives us a little bit of a background of what cholesterol is and what we would look for. So we have to have some cholesterol. We have to have some fats in our diet. So that's kind of the takeaway we want to get from that. Now, the main question they had was, how do dietary fats kind of come into play. So one of the questions they had was, does dietary fats significantly contribute to overall cholesterol intake? And the answer is yes, enough that you absolutely want to pay attention to what you eat. So there are genetic factors. So where somebody can just be have genetic issues that cause high blood pressure, cause high blood cholesterol, or will actually cause like naturally low HDL. So I'm actually one of those people. So I naturally genetically have very low HDL, and so did my dad. And if we would have got his dad tested, who knows? Maybe it would have just been something in our bloodline. But that is just a genetic gift that I have. So that's kind of some of it does come into genetics. But our dietary intake, what we eat, has significant enough effect to our overall cholesterol that we do need to pay attention to it. So it does mean that sometimes there's enough genetic component to where somebody could eat quote unquote perfect, and they still might have to have cholesterol medications due to really poor genetic scenarios and cases. But what I found, again, I've talked about this in past podcasts, but I've had well over 1,000 client history. So I've helped well over 1,000 people in the 17 years that I've been a personal trainer. And I do have a master's in nutrition, so I have tons of real world experience plus the education behind this stuff. Now, this isn't my sole focus in terms of the only thing I do, so there's definitely some people in the world who are going to know more than I do about this, absolutely. But I do have above kind of like just asking your neighbor or, so-and-so at the gym level of knowledge. So what I want to point this out for is there is a genetic component, but it doesn't mean you should just say screw it and eat whatever you want. And then also there isn't a fix everything. So just because you eat perfect doesn't mean you're going to be perfectly healthy. So sometimes there's just kind of a give and take in both scenarios. So what I've found is when people control their nutritional intake, they can often lessen medication and or even prevent the need for medication in most cases. So it's significant enough of a role that you should pay attention to it, especially if you have high blood cholesterol. Okay, so if you have issues with heart disease and issues like this, you absolutely do want to look at controlling nutritionally the best you can, so that way you can either avoid medicine or lessen medicine. So medicines often come with side effects that we don't want, so the less you have to take, the better it is for your overall health. So since we know dietary fat intake, and we're going to talk some more about sugar and stuff too, but since we know our food matters, let's look at what's in our food. So if we look at the types of dietary fats that we eat, we're going to look at three main ones, is saturated and unsaturated, and then within unsaturated, there's monounsaturated and polyunsaturated. So we'll go through all this. So saturated fats are typically what people think of like animal meats, which is actually not true. So if you look at like beef, for example, like red meat, only about 40%, and I had to look this up because I didn't know the exact number. I knew the concept was true, but I had to look up the exact number. But only about 40% or so of the fat of like red meat and stuff like that is actually saturated fats. So there's actually no substance on the planet, no food, that is 100% saturated fat. So fats, foods that contain fats are going to have blends of the types of fats that are in them. Now, some fats like coconut oil and butter are really, really, really high in saturated fat. So we would consider them mostly saturated fat, but they still have some unsaturated fats in them. So actually, coconut oil and butter are the highest, kind of like some of the highest foods in saturated fat. So they're actually more of a concern if you're trying to limit saturated fats in your diet. Okay, it's actually good to have some saturated fat in your diet. Saturated fat in your diet should make up, they give a reference of about a third of your total fat intake. Now, you can play with that and have it be more or less, depending on what you see in like blood work and stuff. So if you start limiting saturated fats and it improves your blood work, then go ahead and start bringing them down, even like if you need to, if that helps. So, but we're going to talk more that polyunsaturated fats are actually the worst for cholesterol. So back to saturated fats. Sorry, I'm bouncing around a little bit here. Red meat is not as much of a culprit and a bad thing as people think it is. Not at all. Okay, so it has saturated fat in it, sure, but it's not overwhelmingly saturated fat. And actually, coconut oil and butter are the bigger ones. So we kind of all know, like, if we're trying to eat healthy, it's kind of socially common for people to say to avoid cooking in butter. There's pros and cons to that, and we'll talk about here in a second what oils or what fats you should actually use to cook in. But coconut oil is something that would be considered like something to be aware of. If you have too much coconut oil thinking it's a healthy fat, it's actually really high in saturated fat, so you might actually have too high of saturated fat if you're constantly cooking in coconut oil. Okay, so you need to have saturated fat in your diet. They have good healthy roles. There's good involvement in the hormone balance and production and stuff. So saturated fats are not the worst thing. They're actually not the one you want to look at. What you really want to look at and be careful of is polyunsaturated fats. And the reason why is because they're really unstable, meaning that like they get what's called oxidized, which means they turn rancid, which is another fancy word for just saying they become kind of bad things in your body. Your body can't use them well, and it causes issues, okay? And that can relate to heart disease, is whenever like a dietary fat turns rancid and it oxidizes. Those are terminologies for saying like that fat is no longer good for you to have in your body. So polyunsaturated fats, which are most common soybean oil and corn oil, which we know as canola oil. So canola oil and soybean oil are like the worst things you can have for cholesterol levels and overall heart disease issues. So as much as you can, you want to try to avoid soybean and corn oil, say canola oil. The downside is those are super cheap, and that's what most restaurants cook with nowadays. So soybean oil and corn oil are not really natural types of oils. So we have to, as man, like mankind, we have to almost make them into oil because they don't have a natural state of oil. So they're really bad. They're easily oxidized. Like I said, they turn really easily rancid, and they cause problems in our body. So those are the ones you absolutely want to be careful of. So you want to limit as much soybean oil and canola oil, corn oil, as much as you possibly can in your diet. So people who eat out often, they're going to run into issues because people cook a lot with canola oil. So you want to be very careful if you eat out often of, it's going to be hard, okay, for you to completely avoid canola oil because most places are going to have it. You can tell them that you have an allergy to canola oil and ask them if they cook in canola oil. That actually is a thing. So Stan Efferding, who's a kind of a pretty famous dude in my world, and he gives a lot of nutrition advice, and he actually has talked about his history of rashes and diarrhea and stomach issues with canola oil, to where he actually has what would be considered almost like an allergen to it. So you can tell places that and, you know, see if they have different options or what options are available. But you want to try to avoid canola oil, which is corn oil, and soybean oil as much as possible. Now, fish oil is technically a polyunsaturated fat, but it's okay. So you want to take a fish oil supplement from a dark container and a natural source rather than like, there's like, for example, there's fish oils from wild fish or natural fish resources, and those are the better options. And if they come in dark containers, that's going to help it not be oxidized as well. So you want your fish oil to avoid light as much as possible. So when light actually like touches, like when oil and light can see each other, okay, that's really, really, really bad, because what it does, it starts to oxidize the oil. So when you buy oils from grocery stores and stuff, you want to avoid as much as you can buying oils that are in clear containers, because that means, especially polyunsaturated oils, like canola oil and soybean oil, even just the lights of like a grocery store can start to oxidize that oil and make it really bad for you. So you want to avoid canola oil and soybean oil anyhow, and then definitely avoid them if they come in clear containers. So you want to try to find containers that are very dark and or tin containers. Those are the best options to make sure the oils aren't already oxidized. And you want to make sure you try to buy a glass, not plastic. So, and obviously if it's tin, it's metal. But plastic will actually leach into the oil. So you want to find dark glass containers. That's going to give you the most natural, healthy oil. If you buy a plastic clear container, which is cheap as hell, that's why they're made in those, okay? The oil is oxidized, and it's already starting to turn rancid, which means it's already bad for you. And if you put that in your body, it's going to increase your risk of heart disease. So you want to be very careful when buying oils. Focus on glass, dark containers, or tin. Okay? Now, we just talked about the saturated fats, which you can look and see in different foods. Like we said, different types of dietary fat sources have varying amounts of saturated and unsaturated. So if you're eating something that has high saturated fat, you just want to make sure that that's not the bulk of your diet. It's okay to have it. Okay, so it's okay to have coconut oil. It's okay to have butter. Actually, they're the healthiest things to cook in because heat also oxidizes and turns oils rancid. So when you cook oils, which is like one of the main reasons why canola oil and soybean oil are bad for you, is because when you cook them, you heat them. And that makes them rancid and kind of oxidizes and makes them bad. So actually, fats that are higher in saturated fat are more heat stable, meaning they're actually healthier for you to cook with. So I actually cook with coconut oil, but then I don't have it in any other, like I try to not have saturated fats, high saturated fat foods in the rest of my diet. So I will use coconut oil to cook in because it's the healthiest oil to cook in, but I don't want to add a whole bunch more saturated fats and have my diet percentage be off. So butter and coconut oil are actually okay to cook in. You just don't want to have more than what you need to cook. Okay? Polyunsaturated fats, soybean and canola oil are the worst things in the world to cook with because it oxidizes them and makes them turn bad. So what should we have the majority of in our diet is monounsaturated fats. And that's actually most animal meats. So beef, fish, chicken, blah, 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 blah. Avocados, olive oil, egg yolks, nuts. So monounsaturated fat, making sure you have enough of it in your diet, okay, has actually been shown to increase HDL. So people who have low HDL and they have a low fat intake in their diet, they might actually be able to increase HDL by increasing the amount of monounsaturated fats in their diet. So they'll have like an extra couple tablespoons of olive oil throughout the day, maybe throw in a couple extra egg yolks, you know, at breakfast or lunch or something like that. Nuts, like we said, are really high in monounsaturated fats. So that's what we want to have as the most kind of fat sources in our diet to have healthy cholesterol levels and make sure we have enough fats for healthy hormone production, vitamin D production, and like we said, bile, which helps with like digestion. So that's beef, fish, most animal meats, avocado, olive oil, egg yolks, nuts. That's what we want to have the most in our diet. Okay, so that stuff is okay for you when it's controlled in an overall caloric intake. Okay, now there are specialty oils that you might hear of, like MCT oil. It's a faster digesting oil. So fats are typically a slow digesting energy source. MCT oil is kind of like when they take a fat that was blended with saturated and unsaturated fats and they take out the saturated fat. That turns it into what's called like medium chain triglyceride oil. It's all these crazy terminologies. But MCT oil is basically, it's okay. And it's a kind of a faster source of oil. Then we have like red palm oil, which is very rare nowadays, but it's actually a mixture of like saturated and monounsaturated fats. It's actually fine. You can cook with it if you wanted to. It's okay. Sesame oil, which you'll see on salads and stuff, is not the best to cook with. And it's high in the bad fats that we don't want. So you might drizzle it a little bit on a salad here or there, but you don't want to have a lot of it. Then we have walnut oil, which is a common one as well, and it's monounsaturated, and again, it's not really something you want to cook in. So you want to try to cook mostly with saturated fats or monounsaturated, but definitely more saturated if you get the choice, okay? So again, we said cooking saturated fats are the best because they're the most stable under heat, so they won't turn rancid and turn bad for you, Okay. Coconut oil and butter are examples of those. Those are actually at 80% or over of saturated fat. So, like we said, you can cook with them, and then, like, if you have coconut oil in there, you can drain out the extra if you want. You just use enough butter to cook what you need to cook with, but it's okay to have those in your diet. It's not the end of the world, so unless we don't need to villainize butter. Most people, what they're going to run into, the issues that they run into, is just eating too much food overall. So, are fats bad for your cholesterol levels? No, we actually need dietary fats. They do a lot of good things for us. But if we eat excess calories, and within those excess calories comes excess polyunsaturated fats, the bad ones, that's not good for us. Being overweight, being inactive, eating a shitload of sugar in our diet, those are all bad things as well. So those are the bigger, more negative contributors to overall cholesterol than the specific types of fats that we have. Is, are we just eating an appropriate amount of food per day? Okay, if we're overeating, we're going to run into cholesterol problems just because we're having too much damn food. Okay, and too much food causes a whole bunch of problems in our body, let alone heart disease risk and stuff like that. And then also, if you're inactive and you don't use up things in your body, okay, you're going to have problems with that machine. If you, like, it just kind of makes sense. If I eat too much food and never exercise, I'm not going to be healthy. Duh. Okay. So the number one thing we really want to look at when we're trying to control cholesterol isn't necessarily the types of fats we're having. I would first look and see, am I having the right amount of food per day? Am I having too much fat overall? Or am I having too little fat overall? So, and that's also, if you control calories, you're going to also control kind of sugar intake and carbs. So sugar has been shown to have a huge problem with cholesterol because of, like, the effects of insulin resistance. So too much sugar in our diet can cause us to be resistant to insulin. And insulin resistance means, like, the liver produces too much fat, too much cholesterol. So it's not really talking, it's not listening to the body when insulin tells the liver to stop, we're getting a little bit lost here, but anyhow, I don't want to get too, like, into the weeds of things. But insulin resistance, okay, when we have too much sugar in our diet, it negatively impacts the liver health and production. So the liver creates glucose for us, okay, creates, like, energy for the brain and the body, but it also creates, cholesterol. It creates fat for us, yes. So it creates cholesterol. So when we have too much cholesterol in our bloodstream, more than what, like, HDL can take away, that's what causes, like we said, the plaque buildup. So if someone's diet is relatively balanced in fat intake, and they're doing okay with their fat intake, but they have high amounts of sugars, that's going to cause that insulin resistance, and it's going to cause our cholesterol to be out of whack. So if you have too much sugar in your diet, that can cause high cholesterol. Yep. So it's not only dietary fat intake that's an issue. We also have to look at sugar intake and its role in insulin resistance. So I see this a lot with people I've worked with in the past who are, like, vegans or vegetarians, or they're kind of, like, anti-animal meats. And they'll still have cholesterol issues sometimes because they might not have a high amount of fat intake. Now, sometimes they do because they eat a lot of seeds and other crap. Not crap, bad stuff. I mean, just other foods that are high in fats anyhow. So they'll have, like, a diet high in coconut oil and seeds and other fat sources like avocados. So they'll still have, and nuts, for example, they'll still have high amount of fat intake, even though they're vegans or vegetarians. And then also, they tend to focus a lot on, like, fruits, a lot of sugar-type things if they're not super controlled. So what they'll see it is like, okay, well, I'm avoiding animal meat, so let me just eat a shit ton of everything else. And that can still cause problems. So, if you eat animal products, if you eat animal meats, that doesn't automatically mean you're going to have high cholesterol. That is not true. And just because you eat plant-based lifestyle does not mean you're automatically going to have low cholesterol. That absolutely is not true. So people will say, well, you know, oh, I found a study for this and this and this. You can find a study for any damn thing you want. So I have, like I said, I have a master's in nutrition. I had to do research study classes where you analyzed research studies. We went through a whole this process. So I remember I had to write a 50 resource page. I had to find 50 resources. I forget how many pages the, it was 50 page, 200 resources. So I wrote a paper for my master's on protein digestion, like protein intake post-workout. So like the anabolic window, like how much protein is the right amount of protein? Should we mix protein with carbs? What's the perfect blend after workout for us to, maximize muscle tissue development? So I had to find 200 peer-reviewed resources and write a 50-page paper on just that topic. So that was part of the class where we learned how to analyze research articles. And I used to actually subscribe to a journal subscription for different type of peer-reviewed research articles and stuff. And so I have a fairly high experience with that. But you can find studies for anything you want. So just because there's a study that says, vegetarian lifestyle lowers cholesterol, okay, I'm sure there is one, but I can find you 50 more that say it has absolutely no significant effect. Okay, so you can find articles for anything. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't credit articles and use articles as evidence. It just means we have to be aware that there is at least one study proving anything we want. So you have to look at multitudes of studies. So if I were to look at, say, 100 research studies, and I find that only 10 say that a vegan lifestyle is guaranteed to create low cholesterol in your blood. Okay, well, if only 10 out of 100, that doesn't really prove my point, okay? But if, say, 90 out of 100 said it did, well, then that's pretty good proof. So you can't pull out a single study and use that as, your evidence, okay? You have to find multiple studies over a large group of studies. So I have worked with people who have amazing cholesterol, who all they do is eat animals, and then people who have amazing cholesterol and they eat no animals. I've also worked with people who had horrible cholesterol and they ate all animals. And then I had people who had horrible cholesterol and they were vegans and vegetarians. So that lifestyle choice, it can impact cholesterol for sure if what you were doing before that lifestyle choice had negative behaviors towards cholesterol. And the way in which you changed your diet happened to improve those behaviors. But I can do that from somebody switching from vegan to animal-based, or somebody switching from animal-based to vegan. Okay? So whether you do a plant-based lifestyle or an animal-based lifestyle doesn't directly 100% influence cholesterol levels. Okay? It's indirectly for most cases. Okay. So that's going to give us some background there. Let me switch over the videos. There we go. Okay, so we typically do videos on YouTube, so I'm just switching them over so that way it doesn't cut me off. So, ways to improve our cholesterol. Number one is get your freaking calories under control. Okay, you have to make sure you're eating the appropriate amount of food per day. If you're eating in excess, you are going to have excess of stuff in your body. Whether that's good fat, bad fat, sugars, not sugars, proteins, not proteins, whatever. If you just eat a bunch of crap, you're going to have a bunch of crap floating around in excess. So if you have any cholesterol issues, you need to control your overall caloric intake. That is by far and large the first thing you need to do. The second thing you need to do is be freaking active. Get moving around. Okay? Those are the two biggest contributors. It's not, what the percentage of fat versus unsaturated versus saturated fats you have in your diet. It's how much freaking fats are you eating in general in your diet. Okay. And then you need to move around and be active. You need to use your body. Okay. You need to use the machine that you got. So those are by far the two first things you need to do. Okay. Make sure your caloric intake is under control and make sure you're being active. Okay. So the next thing you want to look at is, out of the fats that I'm eating, am I avoiding polyunsaturated fats? Yes. Okay, good. Now, am I having 2/3 or mostly the monounsaturated fats as my food sources? If that's a yes, then you're doing well, okay? So you can have some saturated, but you only want that to be a third, you know, or a smaller percentage. You want most of your fats coming from the monounsaturated fats, okay? And again, the monounsaturated fats are animal meats, so like beef, fish, that kind of stuff, avocado, olive oil, egg yolks, nuts. So those are the main sources of fats you want to have in your diet, okay? And now, being active, resistance training, lifting weights actually has a better effect on cholesterol and overall blood value control than cardio alone, okay? When you move your muscles help burn up more shit. That's what helps, okay? And then also, there's a ton of benefits to increasing metabolism over time. So by far and large, lifting weights is significantly, ridiculously better than pure cardio. So aerobic cardio, where you go outside and walk around, that's just called being alive, by the way. So if you go out for a walk, you're alive. Congratulations. So I am being a bit of a jerk right now, but that's not really exercise. So I know that sounds so mean to people. If you haven't previously been active to where walking actually is an increase for you, then yes, please get to walking. But the second you can walk, you can probably lift weights. And that's actually significantly more effective. If you don't know how to do it correctly, get a personal trainer. Okay, you're going to spend more money on a Friday night going out to dinner than you would hiring a personal trainer for 1 hour. And that personal trainer can show you enough in 1 hour to help you for the rest of your damn life. Okay? So please, you know, give yourself some value and self-worth and hire a trainer. Have them teach you how to lift weights correctly for your body type and your abilities. Okay? You invest into 1, 2, or even 3 sessions and you should know enough to know how to work out at home. You can buy some dumbbells at home under $100. Hell, you can get a home gym under $50. Okay, there's things called hip circles, which are like a stretchy band you can use to train your legs. You can buy some lightweight dumbbells, you know, from Amazon or Walmart or whatever. But you can put together a home gym for under $100, and you can get a trainer to show you in 1 or 2 sessions how to exercise with that equipment. Okay, so like I said, all you got to do is skip going out to eat once or twice a month for 1 month, and you have enough to make that stuff work. So please, 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 it's not limiting. Like, there's no financial limit, okay, on this stuff. It's just your perception of that being true. We just don't want to do it, and we're using finances as an excuse. So resistance training is by far better. Control your overall caloric intake. So what you want to do is basically just eat healthy, be active, try not to be fat, okay? If you lower your body fat, your cholesterol will improve. Our body just runs better when we're lean, okay? So when you get rid of the excess, when you get rid of things that cause added stress, added inflammation, you know, pain in our joints, there's no need for us to be carrying around 50, 60, 70, 80 extra pounds on our body. So if you have heart disease issues, if you have cholesterol issues, get your body fat percentage down, okay? And that would just be by controlling your caloric intake, and by trying to be active, and resistance training is significantly better than cardio. So control calories, lift weights, and done. That's it, okay? So you don't even have to get into, are my fats 1/3 saturated, 2/3 unsaturated? That helps, but it doesn't help if you're still overeating your calories. It doesn't help if you do no exercise whatsoever. So sometimes people get lost in the weeds of the details and they're missing the bigger picture, which is just eat healthy and move around. So if you eat healthy and move around, it'll take care of most of what you can control outside of your genetics. So like we said, there is some example of genetics. So every time I get blood work done and they find out my HDL is low, I get told I need to exercise 3 or 4 times a week and eat more fish. And then I tell them is, I own a gym, you dumbass. I exercise way more than 3 times a week. And usually they're laughing when they tell me this. But that's all doctors really know. That they doctors have no education on nutrition, okay, other than like what protein might be, you know, or what carbs are or what fats are. But they have absolutely no nutrition knowledge in which they should be actually recommending nutrition programming or nutrition diets. So doctors 100% should not be telling you nutrition advice. They don't know what they're talking about. That's what registered dietitians and nutritionists are for. Okay? So, so I'm an example where every time I go, I get told, you know, I need to exercise more and eat more fish because my HDL is low. So that's something that, like, even though I do exercise, even though I do eat healthy foods, I'm still going to have genetically low HDL. And that's it. That is what it is. You know, that's what it was for my dad. That's what it might have been for his dad. So I'm trying to control as much as I can. To some degree, I will admit that I could do a better job, of course. But there is going to be some just genetic involvement, some genetic role that you can't control. But of what you can control, why not the hell? Like, why not control it? Okay. So you can do something about it. So why not do something a little bit? Do something enough. Okay. So put some effort in, see what results you get. If you get results for it, maybe that'll motivate you to put more effort in. Okay. So there's hopefully some helpful information and a little bit of background about cholesterol and dietary fats. So dietary fats are not the worst thing in the world. You absolutely should not just avoid all fat in your diet. They're actually necessary for, like we said, hormone health, vitamin D production, helps with digestion, with the production of bile, does a whole bunch of other stuff too. But it's healthy for us to have fats in our diet. We just have to make sure we have the right amount of fats and the right type of fats. And again, you want to focus mostly on monounsaturated fats, which is like most animal meats, avocado, olive oil, fish, like egg yolks, nuts. You want to have that stuff. You can have some saturated fats, and they're actually the healthiest ones to cook with, which is like coconut oil and butter. Okay, you just want to cook with them, but not have excess of them. And then you want to really, really, really try hard to avoid polyunsaturated fats, which are corn oil, canola oil, and soybean oil. Okay, so hopefully this was helpful. If you have any extra information, like if you have any extra questions, or you would like more detailed information about this, shoot us an email to brutalirongym@gmail.com. And we'll be happy to kind of dive into more help. I can send you, you know, video resources or things that I've kind of learned from, and give you a way to look into this even more if you'd like on your end. Okay? But hopefully this was a good introduction, give you some good information to kind of get your brain kickstarted and thinking. So, if you like this information, you can find more from us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Brutal Iron Gym. Also, if you like the podcast, please, please, please share the podcast. Okay, it does help, and the more people we help, the happier the world will be. And if you have any questions, feedback, or suggestions, we'd love to hear from you. So the podcast is for you, so just like this person sent in questions that they wanted to learn more about, we would love to know anything you want to learn about, and we'll try to always include it, get you the answer if we can. Okay? And you can tell us what you want to learn about at our email at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.